It is 9:30. It is time for the Friday night hangout. This is where we grab a brew, shoot the breeze, and interact with you. This is a live program here where we talk about topics from the past week based out of Halifax, Nova Scotia. And, of course, we have the podcast version of that. During the live interaction, you can comment via Twitter, via our hashtag, Friday Night Hangout, YouTube, Google+, and, of course, you can enjoy also on our website, avoidingchores.com. Great panel for you tonight. We'll do the quick round of intros and, of course, some of our regular segments. And then we'll get going straight into the topics. Let's start off in Dartmouth. We got Dan with us tonight. Good evening, Dan.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means something or other. I don't know, but
it's simple. Perfect. Flipping over to Halifax, we got Krista with us, bitesizedtravel.ca. Good evening, Krista.
Good evening. Oh, yeah!
Punching through the snow, cool man, Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. Yeah. Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
And flipping over to the valley, we got Lee Hoogley's Beer and Brew Reviews on the YouTube.
Hello.
How's it going, Lee?
It's going.
All right, and let's flip over to Newfoundland. We got Mike with us tonight. How's she going, Mike?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, good. And, of course, I am also in Halifax here with you tonight with the beautiful green set with the pots in the back. The cat later this evening will make an appearance.
Love that. Yeah. Love that
guy. Where's the cat? Cat's somewhere here. So, let's do a quick Let's do the quick round of what we're drinking tonight, and I'll plug some local craft beer from the region here. Dan, what are you drinking tonight, my friend?
Well, I'm drinking the greatest type of beer, which is free beer. There's some sort of like snowstorm that recently hit us. Some of you may have seen that or something. So I've been shoveling not just my driveway, but a bunch of other driveways, and out of appreciation, my neighbor was nice enough to drop off 12 Olens. So, I am starting off, this is Olin number one, Olin number two, sort of like thing one and thing two from Cat in the Hat. And then this would be my Cat in the Hat. The old fog burner.
You know, the funny thing is the Olin export, after some shoveling, tastes pretty damn good.
It sure does.
You know, it does taste
pretty that good. Over, I'll take that over Keith's any day.
Sure. Krista, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking Propeller's Irish Red Ale. They're seasonal that's here for a very limited time only to celebrate St. Patrick's Day and all things Irish. And it's nice. I'm not drinking out of the right glass, though, so sorry, guys.
Nope, sounds good. Sounds good. Lee, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking Boxing Rocks Crafty Jack.
Yay!
And Mike, what are you drinking tonight?
I got some Garrison Black IPA.
Black IPA, good, good. I am drinking something from Fredericton, Picaroons Yippee IPA.
Hey!
Excellent.
6.5%, so it's been a little while since I've had this. So
you forgot the MF at the end of that, by the way.
Is
Yippee IA MF. I would say the MF. I'd say the MF, but
it's 9:35.
It's 9:35, so I can't say it yet. And besides, it's nothing in Alberta.
Hang on. Wait until we do the second time
around. Yeah. And also, I think your cat's starting to plot to kill you, so one of the things you might be interested in getting is this how to know if your cat's planning on trying to kill you from the oatmeal. I'll lend this book to you. It will save your life.
First one here, you know, we had a big snowstorm this week. We're not really going to go into the snow other than the fact that I think all of us have been shoveling for the last 3 days. But reporter Brett Ruskin from Global, Mr. BuzzFeed, helped not only one woman in labor during the snowstorm, but two.
Two.
Next door to each other. They were right next door to each other.
Next door. And he had a chance to give his phone to somebody else to make sure he took pictures of him helping the lady so that he could tweet about it.
I bet you he took an opportunity to strut down the hallway, sort of like Saturday Night Fever style, you know, like they'll strut and then giving a high five. Yeah! That was me, baby. Me.
He had, I think he had a shoulder-mounted camera, actually, and because he's a VJ, so he does his own camera as well as his own reporting. And I think he just kind of, like, planted it down on whatever was nearby, like a snow pile or whatever.
Hopefully not on the pregnant woman, because that would be... Well,
the video POV. Is pretty incredible, because there was this guy, like, shoveling out, and so, like, Brett's, like, kind of pulling her up the stairs, and this guy is behind her, like, pushing her up the stairs. Like, oh, my God. Well, you know what? Like, this Brett Ruskin's a nice guy, and he's really on the ball with a lot of news and happenings that are going on in Halifax. And so it doesn't surprise me of all the reporters in Halifax to kind of happen upon something like this, that he did it. And I mean, he's a nice guy, and it's a really cute story. And
for a guy who does a lot of Twitter clickbait on public tenders and stuff like that, he actually scores one. So that's my.
Do you realize that he has actually come up with this year's ALS bucket challenge? The new thing is to find a pregnant woman and help her deliver it on the street. That's the new challenge for ALS. Go ahead. I give that one to you. That's a freebie ALS.
Okay, well, give me 9 months and I'll
At Halifax, depending where you are in the Halifax area, we had over 70 centimeters of snow. That's over...
Some of us had more than that, Jim.
More than that. Basically,
I had 80 centimeters and meters on meters.
Yeah, so for our friends in the States who are listening, that's about 2 to 3 feet of snow that we got in the 24-hour period. City shut down. They didn't quite want to do a state of emergency, but they called in all the big, heavy trucks and doing this big show. You know, Barrington Street, Hollis Street. Look at the before state. Look at the after state. Nice, clean, clear sidewalks. You know what? They could have done that the last storm.
They could have done that all winter long.
All winter long.
You guys have been hammered this year.
Yeah, but you know what? We get snow every year.
We get winter every year.
And the problem
is... The only thing that changes is that we're less and less capable of dealing with it.
Well, not only that, but we just never got the little bit of a warmth just to kind of help with the melt or something. That never came.
Yeah. Look, we got all of our, like, 3 months' worth of snow in 1 month, basically. I mean...
Yeah, but when the management plan is to rely on above zero temperatures for it to melt is not a good plan.
Yeah, that plan is terrible. Yeah.
Food in a wheelchair and people shoveling their own streets to get out after 3 days is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's only like a couple feet, like it's not 100 centimeters of snow. You know, Moncton sees that every other year, and they seem to handle just fine. But you
Montreal,
know,
Montreal,
basically anywhere else in North America that gets snow on a regular basis, they get at least one of these storms a little bit, and they can handle it. Boston, they've had a whole bunch of snow. I didn't see anybody shoveling sidewalks in Boston. They were jumping out windows in Boston.
Yeah.
So listen, counting on warm weather to take care of snow for you is like counting on luck to not get pregnant when you have sex without a condom. I mean, like, this is just ridiculous. And it's happened, well, steadily for a couple of years now. But over time, the budgeting has started weighing heavily in favor of climate change, not anticipating that climate change means things just get real messed up, not that everything gets really warm.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Krista, I'm still not pregnant, so I must be a lucky. I must be a lucky guy.
Lucky guy.
Now, if I had a couple of $1,000, I'm going to buy a bobcat and I'm going to apply for a city contract to plow some roads in my area.
Not worth it.
Why not? I'm going to get money. Maybe next year we'll have maybe none of the snow and I'll still get paid.
Not
which
worth
is one
it.
Of the problems.
You want people like me throwing insults and withering looks at you?
I will totally do it in Bedford. So.
That's true. There's Bedford.
I get, and that's the other thing too. It's like, you know, I don't remember when the city was doing snow removal, especially with the sidewalks. I don't remember any Bobcats being used. I was used to see appropriate snow blowing equipment.
The city doesn't use Bobcats. The city has proper plows, but the contractors are landscapers, and so the landscapers use the equipment they have, and they don't buy snow plows because they can't use snow plows to do landscaping in the summer.
Yeah. So equipment. So everybody that can mow grass, they got a Bobcat, and terrible job. I don't know if they're gonna review the contract. It's a 4-year contract.
No, they're not. That was voted down at council.
Oh, was it voted down?
And so that's why when you have councilors going on the news asking everybody just to chip in this once, it's like, why? To reward the city for completely failing to deliver the service they tax homeowners for? Forget it.
You know, every time I see Wei Mason talking about, it's not the time to complain. We can talk about that later when everybody forgets about it.
That's what happens. Like, when you tell a kid, just get through this, just do this one thing you don't like, and later we'll do something fun, it's because you're counting on the kid forgetting you made the promise to do something fun later.
Yeah, exactly. And all that, I never seen Wei with a shovel in his hand taking, a promo pic. You know, he's always outside doing interviews, but he's never actually shoveling. So I have no idea
he's actually
shoveling.
He's just not snow.
He's been doing some shoveling now, it is a bit rich that everyone's asked to chip in now and do the service that they're already paying for with their taxes. And don't worry, we'll have a serious conversation about this later. No, really. Promise.
No, really. Really. You've been stuck in your house for 3 days and there's been no snow plow, you can't actually get to work. You know what? It's not time for that. Just shovel your street. Ask a neighbor, clear it out. Not a problem. We'll deal with this in July.
I've had to talk to my neighbors for the first time in 2 years. I wouldn't do that.
That's terrible.
With the commoners. Ugh.
No, not the commoners. They're strangers. All strangers.
Just other people.
I have to ask because this is since we're on the weather topic with, Frankie McDonald, our patron saint of the province. Yes. What was everyone's storm chips for the big storm?
It was alcohol.
I didn't eat storm chips because I ate so many chips the previous weekend.
No, I didn't. I didn't eat storm chips. I didn't charge my iPad or my iPhone. I didn't do any of that shit.
You're trying to make food.
Shut up, Frankie McDonald. I don't like you.
Oh, no.
Boo.
Yeah, well, someone's gonna take him down a notch.
Lee will be taking the contrarian position against things.
Yeah, the contrarian.
Somebody go on avoidingchores.com and say something to Lee, please.
Stop picking on Frankie, Lee. if you want to do that, yeah, go ahead. I'll fight with those people.
No.
Hey, let's talk about fights. Next topic.
Let's talk about.
This is good. Hey, you know what? When in New Minas, and you're getting married, you're going to the bar on your wedding day, you get into a fight. You bite a woman in the face.
You're not going to any bar.
What's going on?
You're going to a pool hall.
Oh, my God. It's like Pac-Man. It's awesome.
So, you guys, let's just set this up a little bit. I'm originally from the Valley. And in the Valley community papers, they have a regular feature called From the Cruiser, and it is the greatest thing on earth. And it's basically the police blotter. But in rural Nova Scotia, some pretty wacky things happen. So there are calls about, horses on the loose and people breaking into their mothers and daughters breaking into their boyfriend's house, well, not house, trailer, but it doesn't specify whether the mother or the daughter is the one dating the boy. There's always something amazing in it. And
it's
this
is like an entire area that is like Springer, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, no, but it's not Springer, but it is it's pretty amazing. So this story is ripped from the headlines of From the Cruiser.
Nice.
Because it involves people that have no business drinking alcohol and being in public. And
still in his tuxedo and his bright gown. Woo! It's crazy.
Well, when you're a hungry, hungry hippo, everything looks like a pellet. That's all I'm going to say about that.
So groom bites face of woman at, you have this worded, bat on his wedding night in New Midas.
Whoops. alcohol played a contributing role after seeing photos
of his...
So, when you read through, the guy had 95 convictions on his sheet, on his rap sheet.
Nice guy.
But a face melt wasn't one. I got 95 convictions, but a face ain't one.
Hey, West Side Charlie's in New Minas was the scene of the crime.
That's
the
right.
Assault.
Explain some things.
Yeah, right?
I haven't been there before. Maybe Krista, Lee can tell us about this spot.
I've never been in it.
Yeah, but we know enough not to go in it.
I believe my dad went there to play pool when his usual pool spot was closed due to a fire.
Suspicious.
Yeah, the problem with the valley is that people get very bored very quick around here. I mean, as much as it's built up in the last couple of years, it's still very much a rural place. And people get incredibly bored and they get incredibly drunk.
Yeah. And
things happen.
You know, and hopefully, yeah, like, usually the better outcome is that they bite someone's face and get picked up by police. Otherwise, they will get in their car and drive somewhere. Like, like that's actually, biting someone's face is probably the lesser of two evils in this situation.
What would be the other evil? I don't know. Biting one's face is the pretty strong evil there.
But otherwise, they're going to get in their car, like...
Yeah.
Drunk.
Yeah, and drive somewhere.
But biting someone's face, I mean, that's like Holyfield-level shit.
When I first read it, I thought
it's Mormon 953, sorry, my bad. Sorry, kids.
My original thought was like, you know, maybe he was on like bath salts or meth or something like that, but no, he was just regular country drunk.
He's in league with Satan because he plays Dungeons and Dragons in the basement.
Let's ask Mike from Newfoundland, do you have Tales from the Cruiser in your community paper?
This sounds just so wrong. Tales from the Cruiser really sounds wrong.
it's my favorite thing in the world.
There's always different stories on the go. We've had a lot of problems with cab drivers being robbed and beat up lately.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. There's one nasty one back probably about 8 months ago. A guy, he had tons of alcohol problems, convictions and that, and he bit the cab driver's hand. And the guy was going to university, ended up in hospital for a couple of weeks, like almost chewed his fingers off.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with people?
But, like, that's like the kind of messed up stuff that you do when you are on bath salts or meth.
People, control your pie holes. Come on.
Yeah. This isn't just regular alcohol-induced nuttiness. This is, like, frenzy.
It's either bath salts or...
This guy did not have 95 priors. He had 93 priors, so...
Oh, well.
Jeez, you're making a difference.
So that's 93 times has been brought to the attention of the police.
Yeah. No, 93 convictions. Who knows how many that was.
Every time they let him out, and then he says, I'll be good this time.
Yeah. You know what? Probably the most amazing part in all of this is that he was fined $325.
That's insane! Is that like an official like value to a biting felony?
He got a year of probation, but I mean, let's face it, he was probably already like serving some probation. So, $325. It would be like, you know what? Just go to the ATM. Just throw that money at the court. Like, yeah, okay. Now I'm gonna go bite something else.
Yeah, well, they were probably lenient on him because the person he probably bit was half ugly anyway, so it was probably an improvement.
Well, now they're full ugly.
Yeah. balance
of the peak. I don't think this was a career-ending injury anyway.
All right, with that, we'll move on to the next topic.
Love this.
Bylaw in Tabor, Alberta restricts outlawing swearing in public assembly. What the hell is going on?
Three or more people, police can break it up.
And I got to cut loose, foot loose.
This story cannot wait another 4 minutes, could it? Because we can't properly retort in the correct language that this deserves.
Hey, even whispering a curse word can land you a $150 fine.
Yeah, if people are not familiar with what this place is, it's this small little corn-growing town of 8,000 people that apparently has way too much time on their hands.
Or maybe not enough money. Maybe this is their income, sort of.
Maybe that too, because I can't see there being a big problem of roving gangs of swearing youths walking around the streets or anything like that. It just stinks of small-minded, busybody.
I feel like this is a hammer to kill a fly problem.
Well, no, swearing in, I don't know, Mandarin. Would that be legal or illegal? Is this strictly English swearing?
I think I would go and just like whisper just the like filthiest thing.
I get a feeling that the Taborites don't approve of having the people from the Orient walking around their town. You know, so it sounds like that sort of town. I'm just speculating, of course. They could be perfectly fine racist bastards. But I would encourage everyone in Tabor, not that there's probably anyone watching, but I would encourage them to swear openly all the time and challenge it. I would like to see the police force keep up
with
swearing.
Great enthusiasm.
Or make up your own swear words. Like, oh, I'm going to flibble-flastle you. Oh, you just wait. Just write up the nougat. Oh, just flag. Frig vobla.
You know, Von D. What all right. The hell is going
First
on?
First of all, who has daughters? Jim, you have daughters. Dan, you have daughters?
She can barely talk, but yes, she can. Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, Kat Von D is well known as someone who actively courts attention, we could say.
Yeah.
And doesn't really care how she gets it, I guess we could also say.
Yeah,
she's a talentless D-list celebrity is what she is.
And I absolutely love the letter that she wrote to protect her artistic integrity and that she doesn't listen to those naysayers out there that says promoting something called Underage Red is just misunderstood. It's about how she felt when she first applied lipstick as a 16-year-old. And she's captured that sensation in the shittiest color you can find with the shittiest name you can think of, you bitch. What were you thinking? Holy shit. And you're not going to get any flyback from that? Underage Red?
Nobody will ever accuse Kat Von D of good decision-making. She was engaged to Jesse James.
But hiding behind artistic integrity?
She was also engaged to Deadmau5, that guy that doesn't wear his real head. He wears whatever that bullshit is that he wears in the name of his art. Like, she is not to be trusted with any decisions, let alone the belief that she can make good ones.
You know her statement goes on for quite a bit. This is a really long statement. It's like a 10-pager.
Well, I mean, let's face it. She probably didn't write it herself. It was probably some, like...
Her publicist.
Well, your hand gets tired holding those giant crayons for that length of time.
But she does. She just likes... She's one of those typical reality stars. Everything's got to be about her. She likes hearing herself talk. She likes hearing people talk about her. She's just another one of those people who are famous for being famous, really, like, you know, Kardashians and all those other pieces of garbage.
She very successfully branded whatever it is that she does. Yeah.
So is she like Rickey Henderson from, like, you know, baseball era, where she'll talk about herself in third person the whole time through?
Who's Rickey Henderson?
Who's Rickey Henderson?
Yeah. Is that sports?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like one of the greatest baseball base stealers ever to play for the
Oakland
A's.
I can only pick a couple of sports to focus on. Baseball is not going to be it.
Okay.
Not worry. Underage Red is currently sold out, but we'll be back in stock as soon as possible.
Any woman over the age of 18 that buys Underage Red is sad, and any woman under the age of 18 who buys Underage Red is being very poorly parented.
Yep.
Full stop.
But just look at the publicity they got with this story.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also want to ban all juicy sweatpants. I'm just saying that out there right now.
I feel like the market took care of that for you, but I'm going
to... No, it hasn't, because I've seen them still kicking around in stores. There's still a market for it, and all those pants should be slapped right now.
There was a story floating around on the blogs this week about how Paris Hilton has like hoarded countless sets of juicy sweatpants.
So there's like a juicy vault?
Paris Hilton has a juicy vault, which is, if you think about it, is actually like kind of perfect, because if there's someone who's going to have like a vault devoted to skankiness, it's probably Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Her vault is
she puts juicy. The whore in hoarding, yes. So let's put in that.
I am not going to say that.
Oh, well.
So, by the way, Internet, I apologize for dropping the B word. I usually don't typically call anyone a bitch, but that really grinded my gears.
The CRTC has been giving out some weird orders.
They're on bath salts along with that guy in New Minas.
They're smoking crack and emptying that bag of Doritos because they unleashed a world of weirdness on us.
So the latest one here is they're asking cable companies to unbundle, basically offer a basic $25 package. And they've done some other stuff. So basically, you know, they're going to allow Canadian, you know, channels to throw CanCon out the window, basically.
Right.
And some other stuff. So a number of people are just freaking out because the industry of handouts, government handout money for CanCon, is disappearing. So everybody's freaking out there.
Oh, just to make sure that people understand, CanCon is Canadian content.
Yes, Canadian content. So
It's legislatively mandated Canadian content.
That's right. Legislate content. So that's going away. So there's a lot of people in Toronto are freaking out. We're going to have a la carte kind of programming on cable if you still have cable. Well, on the flip side, we might get charged more internet because the way things are going. That's what some people are saying. They're saying that all these changes mean that TV's getting cheaper, but they're going to have to pass the cost to somebody else, which is the internet users, which is us.
Boo!
Well, show of hands, who has cable? Okay, sorry. By sounding I, who has cable?
I.
Okay. Yeah. So
that's minority in the hangout.
Yeah.
So two of us no longer have cable, and three.
Netflix is my cable.
I'm getting very close to canceling it though, because Eastlink has just been pulling this crap recently. Oh, we're upgrading all of our channels, so please contact us to get yourself upgraded and stuff. And meanwhile, we'll just slowly blot out every damn channel you're paying for.
But you know what? I don't want it. The only thing I want cable for is local news and national news and the weather network. But like, frankly, most of those things I can get on the internet.
Yeah.
And I actually wouldn't mind paying more for my internet. I just really begrudge the amount that I was paying for cable because I wasn't using at least 80% of it.
Yeah. They can try this.
I don't think it's going to be particularly successful because anyone who's already cut the cord isn't going to go back for $25.
They're picking and choosing their stuff on the internet now. They're not doing it through cable packages. I mean, it's a little too late at this point, I think, offer that plan.
I do most of my viewing asynchronously now. So even with the nightly news shows, the local news shows, they put them up online a half an hour after the broadcast, so you can go in.
Exactly.
And like, I'm not home at 6 o'clock anyway, so by the time I'm ready to watch the news at 7:30, like, that's fine.
The problem with that is that they still make it very difficult for you to get it, because I have to sit through, I don't know how many hoops to watch Global 6 o'clock news at 7 o'clock or CTV. They make it as damn complicated as possible. And if I want to watch it at the tablet, on my tablet at night when I want to go to bed, they have all these stupid apps, CTV Go, Global Go, where I have to be signed up to cable. It's like, no, no, no. You've broadcasted over the air. I don't have to be a cable subscriber to get this. You know, it's out there.
I find pretty much anything, like, I don't begrudge them trying to make money, but, like, so when I'm watching, like, I watch The Daily Show the next morning, I sit through the ads, I deal with it. They do have to make money. But it is the stuff like the apps and all of those things, and, like, log in to watch this thing, and it's like, no, you know what? Like, you're making the legal routes too difficult.
Yeah, that's why people like me use stuff like Hola on Netflix, so I can just get full Netflix instead of Canadian Netflix.
Yeah, I use Hola. Yeah. Hola is and you can also get Hulu with Hola. So you can, with Hola and Hulu, you can watch any American show, basically, that is on, and...
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you the story there, because I was saying before, you know, we have the Netflix, we pay a few extra dollars for the VPN for the American Netflix. I didn't have the damn thing set up right on my Apple TV, so all of a sudden, I changed the 2 to a 3 for the DNS, and all of a sudden, all these squares start popping up. ABC, Fox, Showtime, A&E, PBS, and all this stuff. It's like, why would I ever go back to cable? It's like, I can call my cousin in Boston and say, hey, go to the website, type in the activation code so I can watch PBS Kids, so I can watch Curious George with my daughter.
I don't have to add with my daughter at the end of that.
Curious George.
I got to find out what that monkey's doing now. It's crazy.
What is that monkey doing?
What is he getting into now? A dump truck.
Why is the man in a yellow hat still wearing that?
The man in the yellow hat has no name. We even watched the movie last week, and he has no name still.
He's a serial killer.
I do feel like with a lot of this children's programming, Jim, you are focusing on the wrong thing.
Yeah. Anyway, rub the lotion on the skin, or else the movie gets it again.
The Canadian media system keeps on making overtures to that demonstrate they understand the situation they're in, but then they just implement it in a very Canadian way. Like, Crave and Show Me are amazing examples of this. Because you know what? For like $5 to $7 a month, I would probably subscribe to them. But you have to be a cable subscriber to do it. Yeah. So guess what? You're not getting my money.
Especially in Canada, since the networks are the cable providers. Rogers, Bell, Eastlink.
Yeah.
You know, they control the pipe. Why do I want to double bill?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, I would gladly pay. I would pay for freestanding HBO. But I'll have an Apple TV.
Let's go to Mike. Let's go to Mike in Newfoundland.
I'm just thinking, like, if they have this basic $25 charge for basic cable, like your local community programming and the news channels, and you pick and choose, like, I want HGTV or Discovery or whatever, it's probably going to be, like, $2.99 a channel. And I'm guessing that it's going to be more expensive in the long run to get what you're watching now.
Oh, yeah. Almost definitely. Yeah. Whatever it is whatever decision the CRTC makes, it will end up being bad for consumers, because that's what these telecommunications companies do.
Yeah. It'll just be like your regular cable bill. Every damn quarter, it'll go up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So.
Well, great news, Mike. Now we're offering HGTV in HD, and it's only going to cost you an extra $2 a month.
And you have to buy our box, by the way. You got to buy our extra box here to upgrade.
So when you do pick and pay, you have to pay like $200 a month for the DVR unit. Yeah. But if you get a package, the unit's included for free. But you get all this other stupid stuff you never watch and will never have any use for.
Exactly. My son just turned 19 last week. He said, when I move out in a couple of years when he finishes university, and he said, I'm not going to have a home phone. I'm not going to have cable. He said, I can get everything I need on my iPhone or internet.
Well, there was the research here. Yeah, there was the research here that the youngins are as plugged in for news and stuff. It's just that you just don't want to pay for it. Like the rest of us. But there are a few things that we would want to pay money for. So we pay a couple dollars for Netflix. Yep. I'm more than willing to pay a couple dollars for HBO Go whenever, or HBO Now, whenever that comes available. I would pay a few dollars for local channels if I didn't have to get cable on top of it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, just an easy way of doing it. So, you know, for example, Apple TV. So Apple TV, they're going to, apparently, they're going to release a new version of it in June. They're going to open up the box, gonna have allow an app store and specs and all that stuff. Basically, the possibility of people to add their own channel to the Apple TV. This is the perfect opportunity for cable providers and news channels, community news, community channels to have their stream on Apple TV as a doorway, you know.
Yeah, I get a feeling it's becoming more and more centralized to the point where eventually all you'll have is a modern TV, and it'll be like YouTube or anything like that where there'll be a multitude of like millions of channels out there, and you just subscribe to the ones you want to subscribe to, and you pay a little fee to it, and you won't be paying some overarching cost from some big cable company, anymore.
Well, so, you know, and I agree, Lee. I really do think that's the way it's going, and I am happy to pay producers for content. I subscribe to, I give money to the things I enjoy consuming, like news sites, like blogs, like television, like film, whatever it is. I will pay the producers for it. I'm happy to do that. But I'm not going to pay Bell or Eastlink or these big corporate giants to just separate me from my money, give me nothing but grief in return, and a bunch of crap programming I don't want. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I don't. I don't pay for it.
You probably won't watch.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's do our way back machine. 1981 is the year.
81.
If you
had 1983, I would have been able to use that Madonna reference from earlier.
Big year for slasher movies. It was like the boom for slasher movies. I think there was more made that year than any other year in the 80s.
Yes, but more importantly, the greatest movie that was ever made in history came out in 1981. Raiders of the Lost Ark. The greatest movie ever made. The
greatest dude movie ever made.
Like I said, the greatest movie ever made. Hello, all movies are for dudes.
But you also had like American Werewolf in London. You had Escape from New York. You had
Superman 2, which is infinitely better than Superman 1.
Das Boot.
Is that the one where he flies around backwards?
No, that was Superman 1 that he flies around backwards. Superman 2, he actually takes on the other super villains.
Oh my god. Ronald Reagan was shot that year.
Really?
Yeah, by that crazy guy that was in love with Jodie Foster, and he did it to like show her how much he loved her.
Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes, was also in 1981.
Oh, I can see that right, too.
Researchers find the wreck of the Titanic.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is this right?
Yeah.
Rick Springfield. Mm-hmm. Jesse Brown.
Yeah.
How can I find a woman like that?
Egyptian President Anwar Sadat assassinated. Okay. Mouthful.
Really?
Anwar Sadat was not. Sorry. He was, well, he, things were already ruined for him, I guess. But in I Love You Man, Jason Segel's dog is named Anwar Sadat. He's a puggle, and it's very distracting. And it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, that was like a real guy.
There's quite a few technology things, big ones. Scientists identify the AIDS virus. The first flight of the U.S. space shuttle Columbia.
Yeah.
Post-it notes are introduced to the world. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Microsoft is out there. MS-DOS is released to the world.
Ooh.
Yeah. And artificially produced insulin is created in 1981.
And Justin Timberlake was born. Hello.
Like goodbye. I said, artificially produced insulin.
And Justin Timberlake.
Thank you.
Juice Newton, Queen of Hearts.
I love that song.
Blondie, Tide is High.
Oh my God. 1981 was an amazing year in music.
The term internet was first coined in 1981.
And Georges St-Pierre was born.
You get to see David Cronenberg blow up a head in Scanners.
Sheena Easton.
Brittany Spears is born December
2nd. Oh my God. Iker Casillas was born that year as well. Hola. Hola to our Spanish contingent.
First London Marathon is run in England.
Oh, Dolly Parton introduces 9 to 5 to the world in
1980. I'll be honest. I went to New York to see the 9 to 5 musical, and it was amazing. And then when I was in London last year, I saw Dolly Parton as part of the many things I did there, and it was transcendental. It was life-changing. Like, when she performed 9 to 5...
She is an amazing entertainer.
Yeah. If you're gonna do something with your life, you're like, oh, like, what is one thing I should really focus all my remaining energy on? It's going to a Dolly Parton show. You will not be disappointed.
I'll put it up there, but I don't think I'm gonna put that number one in my list.
Oh, it should be in the mix. Okay. I promise you it will be in the mix.
Are you talking like seeing her in Dolly World or just seeing
her? No, you have to go see Dolly Parton live.
Live, okay.
Hey, some of the TV shows, The Greatest American Hero.
Cannonball Run! Holy smokes, Cannonball Run, 1981. Wow. The first appearance of Jackie Chan on U.S.-based movies.
Hey, another premiere, The Fall Guy.
Wow. Oh my, was that, that was Lee Majors, right?
Lee Majors.
The Smurfs.
Olivia Newton-John comes up with Physical.
The Robot.
1981 was a good year.
It really was. I'm just like scrolling through this list, and it is pretty.
MTV was launched on August 1st, 1981.
Wow.
And what was the first song on MTV? Trivia?
Video Kill the Radio Star.
That is correct. Yeah. By whom? Who did that song?
The Buggles.
Yeah.
Bonus points.
And you had Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior.
Good movie. I am excited about the new one coming out.
Yeah, that one
looks really good, eh?
That looks great.
Great images.
When I was in grade 10.
Oh. Sorry, going back to the theme of toys, one of the popular toys of that era was Moshishis.
In 1981?
1981. The Moshishi.
We're later than that.
And Clash of the Titans figurines were very popular in 1981.
Clash of the Titan lunchbox.
Yeah,
well, that was when the movie came out. One of the last Ray Harryhausen movies with his effects in it,
Yeah, most people don't, like, for older people, action sequences or usually monster sort of stuff with stop motion was all done by him. So you got that Jason and the Argonauts. I'm trying to think of other ones that he's
famous for. A bunch of different Sinbad ones he did.
Yeah, the Sinbad.
Classic sci-fi ones.
So if it involved a Cyclops or a Skeleton Warrior, that was typically his handiwork doing that. Oh, Sheena Easton was popular in 1981.
Morning Train.
Yeah.
Adam and the Ants.
Goody Two Shoes.
Goody Two Shoes, yes.
About the only song I could think of from Adam and the Ants.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. Had like, one. You're really hitting the sweet spot of songs that are like burnt in my brain permanently. So.
Solid gold.
Our James Bond movie for that era would be For Your Eyes Only.
So that would have been Roger Moore, right?
Yeah, that's a Roger Moore one. Yeah. Was that the one with the submarine car? I forget.
That's a good one.
Let's see, Natalie Wood died. Chief Dan George died, who was a great
he was awesome.
American Indian actor. Jack Alberston died, who was in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. He was the grandfather in that one.
Yeah.
Wasn't Chief Dan George Canadian?
I think he was, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was, but he played American Indian in the movies.
Yeah, he was born in North Vancouver, yeah. Yeah.
Muhammad Ali finally retires from boxing.
Yeah.
55 wins and 5 defeats.
That's fantastic.
Stay too
his
long.
His boxing record is so much better than mine. It's not even funny.
GC Storm was saying here the first game of paintball was played in 1981.
Oh, really?
Did they just hurl buckets of paint at each other?
Well, I mean, it's paintball, so they're probably soaking like a tennis ball in the bucket, and then they whip the tennis ball.
Roger was big in paintball.
Yeah, it wasn't called paint bucket. It was called paintball, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a paint-soaked tennis balls. Or dodgeball.
Or golf balls.
That would be awesome. Dodgeball that was soaked
in paint. We did the stupidest things in the 80s. Like, you could still get jarts in the 80s.
Or lawn darts.
Yeah, that's what jarts are.
Can they somehow merge paintball and lawn darts together and make a sport out of that? That'd be amazing.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
I can't believe the communists won in shutting down lawn darts. That is a perfectly.
Thanks, Obama.
That's one.
I know you were pretty young at the time, but I'm pretty sure Obama has.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Obama. But that's one of those things that our species gets stronger when people fail at lawn darts.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just the Darwin Awards waiting to happen right there.
How did we ever live?
Oh, sorry.
We did fine. We were fine.
I forgot a major one for our royal followers. Lady Diana Spencer marries Prince Charles of Wales in 1981.
Oh, yes. God.
1981.
How old am I?
You should know. Only your hairdresser knows for sure.
Talk about
let's do the Bluetooth. Yeah, let's do this.
What?
Did you guys see it?
Is this another thing I need to buy?
It was one of these last-minute things, and I was like, hey, people, dig out your Bluetooth speakers. So
I play it through my phone. That's what I play my music through my phone.
Well, so back in the day, you would take your picture of your boombox, but nowadays you get your smartphone, and you need a speaker to play it. So I used to have this Jam speaker here, but then today I picked up this JBL speaker.
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, you know what? This thing has a really nice sound to it. I was pretty impressed by this. So this got me thinking, what else do people get for Bluetooth speakers nowadays would listen to their tunes? So
that's the Bose one that I think Mike has, right?
Yep.
Which one's that one?
Bose Bluetooth speaker.
Okay. Oh, nice.
About September, when I was shopping for my son's Christmas gift, I went, people were looking for the Bose. So I said, that must be good. So I ordered it online as a Christmas present to myself.
Nice.
And it's awesome.
How long is the battery life on that one?
I think it's about 10 hours average. I've never run it dry. I'm on serial podcast now since all the gang here were watching it or listening to it. And,
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I'll put it on for an hour or two. That's fine.
Well, mine run for close to between 4 and 5 hours, so an afternoon of tunes and stuff.
It's an afternoon.
Yeah. Dan, what do you got for a Bluetooth speaker?
This would be the Bose SoundLink. I know they're up to SoundLink 2 or 3 now, but this is the original SoundLink. And it has a really good heft to it. But yeah, it's fully portable. It's got a nice little flap here to hold it.
Nice.
Nice.
The sound on it is absolutely booming. And it's very base heavy. So if you are a fan of heavier base, this will be it. But if you find base to be a little overpowering, this is probably not the models I would suggest for you.
Or if you have neighbors, or if you live in an apartment.
One of the top ones that's rated in a lot of magazines is actually the Logitech UE Boom set, which are really nice because, first of all, they're conical in size, so they're a little bit more better directional sound of...
You know what? If they hired me, I could tell them they look like penises.
Sicko. But another nice thing about that, though, is that if you have multiple of those ones, the play system is intelligent enough to actually make them into stereo speakers. So that way you can place one over here, one over there, and then you can actually make a stereo setup with these Bluetooth speakers. So that's nice about the Logitech UE Booms. But if you don't mind the bass, I highly, highly suggest going for the Bose system.
Yeah, I don't have any of that stuff. I'm a bit of a Luddite when it comes to this thing. Like I play most of my music through my DVD player because I got the 5.1 speaker setup or whatever. But if I had the money, I would have a desk-sized stereo sitting in my room with wooden encased speakers with a turntable and a tape deck and a DVD player all stuck into one. So
the fact that it said turntable and Luddite is probably speaks volumes.
Don't laugh at that pun. That was terrible.
Turntables are installed.
Just saying, either you're a Luddite or you're a hipster, one or the other when you say turntable.
I'd say Luddite because for the longest time in our family we had a big desk-sized record player that had big wooden encased.
We have one of those as well.
We used to have a cabinet 8-track player, so I don't know how that counts for anything.
I think, you know, Luddite, vinyl, hipster, 8-track. That's probably the dichotomy.
Oh, by the way, internet, 8-track was like a cartridge that you would plug in and you'd be able to play music off this cartridge. Like a Nintendo cartridge.
I think anyone who's our age probably knows what an 8-track is.
You can also get them in cars.
I just like the sound quality of both vinyl because you have physical contact between the needle and the surface of the record, and I like the harmonics that wood generates from speakers. So this is something I grew up on.
How large is your collection for vinyl? Are you strictly LPs or 45s as well?
That's the thing. I don't have a record player right now, so I don't actually have a vinyl collection anymore. But if I did, I would have a vinyl collection.
Sorry, internet, LPs are the full-sized, and 45s are the smaller ones, usually like about 3 or 4 songs of them.
It is safe to assume we don't have a lot of hipsters that watch us on Friday night. They're too busy.
They're too busy curling at the curling club.
They're probably pickling on Fridays. So.
How do we end off this podcast?
Good meeting!
Good meeting!
See you soon, Tabor!
Good meeting.
Fuck you, Tabor.